For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The General Assembly adjourns on Saturday without agreement on a budget and with a wide gulf remaining over expansion of Medicaid. In the wake of the Parkland mass shooting, the House Speaker forms a committee on school safety, but no legislation until next year. And a look at what it means for six Native tribes in Virginia finally recognized by the federal government. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, March 9th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Virginia's General Assembly won't wrap up its work on time as lawmakers continue to disagree over health insurance for the poor. Republicans in the Senate are against Medicaid expansion, and Republicans in the House continue to push for it. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain has this update from the Capitol.
Thursday on the House floor, Republican Delegate Chris Jones announced that negotiators from the House and Senate don't have the budget done yet, and they won't by Saturday, the day lawmakers expected to adjourn.
We have not been able to deal with the big issue, which is Medicaid expansion, but we've made a lot of progress on language amendments, and we've gone through every area of the budget at least once and made a pass. Much has been done, but there's much left to be done. So I thank you for your time and appreciate y'all's patience.
State lawmakers technically have until July 1st, but they pride themselves in routinely wrapping up a balanced budget before the end of session. Taking longer creates more uncertainty for localities and state agencies. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Republican Speaker of the House Kirk Cox has created a select committee on school safety that will review state and local policy on the issue and make recommendations for the 2019 session. Craig Carper with our partner station WCVE reports.
Speaker Cox says the group will examine potential new security measures and resources for kids in crisis. However, the committee will not consider any policies related to gun control, gun rights expansions, or arming teachers.
You know, we can grandstand, I guess, on where people are on guns, et cetera. We're just not going to move the ball that way. Our feeling was, let's do what's doable, let's do it quickly, and let's have some real results. Let's not play politics with it.
House Minority Leader David Toscano says Democrats will participate in the committee, but that guns should be a part of the discussion.
There are too many guns. They're held by a lot of people who really shouldn't have them, and we have to have some reasonable measures to make sure that people are safe.
This session, Democratic bills to enact universal background checks, ban bump stocks, and prohibit the sale of assault weapons to people under the age of 21 all failed. Craig Carper, WMRA News, Capitol Square.
Lawmakers in Richmond have punted a permanent solution on coal ash. That is the byproduct of coal-burning power plants. Across Virginia, the ash sits in ponds as lawmakers in Dominion Energy work out how best to get rid of it. And Mallory Nopain has that story.
Coal ash is complicated.
Big ledger charts with data and stats and stuff.
Senator Scott Sereval lugs out an 800-page binder, which he says isn't enough information to fully understand the problem.
Trying to get 140 legislators to look at this stuff in a 60-day session with all these bills flying around, especially with the other big Dominion bill we had to deal with, wasn't realistic.
Lawmakers have pushed back, dealing with several bills until next year, all of them possible permanent solutions. A single measure, sponsored by Sereval, has passed. It requires Dominion Energy get estimates on the cost of recycling coal ash. Sereval sees that as a victory. Pat Calvert of the Virginia Conservation Network agrees.
Permit fixes is still to come, so we'd like to see them cleaned up sooner than later, of course, but it needs to be done right.
In the meantime, lawmakers aren't allowing Dominion to wrap up with its preferred cleanup method. That's leaving the ash where it is, draining the water, then putting a cap on top. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Civic leaders in town after town along the 600-mile route of a proposed natural gas project have posed for similar photographs, smiling and accepting poster-sized checks from the builder of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. Dominion Energy says it's just being a good neighbor by handing out $2 million in grants of around $5,000 to $10,000 each in communities affected by its joint venture with fellow energy giants Duke Energy and Southern Company. But critics say that Dominion is buying support on the cheap to outflank opponents of the project, which would carry fracked natural gas from West Virginia into Virginia and North Carolina at a cost that is swelling to as much as $6.5 billion. Documents obtained by the Associated Press, as well as interviews with company officials, supporters, and opponents, show the considerable lengths Dominion has gone to as it builds support for its largest capital project. Finally, after more than 400 years, six Native American tribes in Virginia have finally gotten federal recognition. That opens the door for countless funding opportunities, but maybe most of all, it creates the possibility of writing a more accurate version of history. Jordy Yeager has this story.
In every Congress for the last 18 years, a bill's been introduced to federally recognize a half dozen Virginia tribes. They trace their ancestry in this land back more than 10,000 years. But in every Congress, the bill has died. And then earlier this year, Virginia Senior Senator Mark Warner stood on the floor of the Senate.
Occasionally we get things right. And boy, oh boy, this is a day where we get things right on a civil rights basis, on a moral basis, on a fairness basis.
Seated above Warner in the balcony of the Senate were the chiefs of the Chickahominy, the Eastern Chickahominy, the Upper Mattapani, the Rappahannock, the Nansemond, and the Monacan Indian Nation, six tribes that helped the first European immigrants survive. Karen Wood is the director of Virginia Indian Programs at the Virginia Humanities. She's also a Monacan from Central Virginia.
We've been presented as obstacles to civilization, which is sad and offensive, and exclusionary. And now we're getting to a point where Native perspectives are welcomed in the telling of the story, and that's exciting. I felt like my ancestors were never asked to speak. And so I'm one of the first people in this generation who's being included.
That corruption of history is part of why it took 400 years for these tribes to gain federal recognition. After the Civil War, as courthouses burned across the South, Indian records were destroyed. Records that the government requires for tribes to receive federal recognition. What's more, Virginia white supremacists passed the Racial Integrity Act in 1924, which eliminated Indian as a race in the U.S. Census, labeling them as colored instead, again stripping them of any chance at federal recognition.
Many of them left the state so that they could marry as Indian or wouldn't be drafted into colored regiments. It was a really pejorative time when our people felt very persecuted by their neighbors and by the state. And so we hunkered down, that's the term we use, and we withdrew to ourselves. And maybe that's what saved us from assimilating into the general population.
There are 566 federally recognized tribes in the U.S. That recognition gives them access to funding through the Department of the Interior. The funding is competitive, and tribes have to apply and make a case for it, but it beats relying on bake sales and powwows to support their tribal centers, many of which are in rural areas. Frank Adams is the chief of the Upper Mattapani.
Initially, what we would like to do with any funds that we can get from the federal government is to update and upgrade our tribal facility and the electronics in the building, just so that we can begin to process and apply for monies to provide health care and educational grants to our citizens.
Monacan Chief Dean Branham says he's working with the Smithsonian's National Museum of the American Indian in Washington, D.C., to identify ancestral remains and artifacts to reunite them with the tribe. But he says the deep and painful irony of seeking recognition from a government that tried to eliminate you hasn't escaped him.
To me, it's kind of owed to us for them to finally say, hey, you people have been here all these years, and I'll never know why it took so long. I don't think anyone will, but they did the right thing, and I think justice was done by doing what they did and recognizing us, which it should have been done a long time ago. It shouldn't have took 18 years.
Back on the Senate floor, Senator Warner thanked the tribes for their patience and perseverance, and the bill passed unanimously. But it had one more hurdle.
The Republican Congress had passed our bill, but that it was now in Trump's hands to decide whether to sign it. So all of the futures of the people that I love were actually in the hands of a man who hasn't been very friendly to Indians. And he signed the legislation.
What was your reaction?
He did something right. Honestly, that was it.
I'm Jordy Yeager.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Friday.